And that's one of the things about religion that we have to remember when we're talking about that makes it such a hot topic issue is because we're talking about law. Who gets to be God? Who gets to be God's deputies? Who is the Most High? Who is the divine authority? It's all about the claim to the Most High. The only way that somebody can be higher than us is if we give away our power. Because there's nobody, we're all equal. But we're not equal in our knowledge, so ultimately, I think it does have to be a hierarchy, but it has to be a cooperative hierarchy, like a bee colony. It's about what our value system is, what we care about.
Hello, Hive Mind. Today is October 28th, 2020. I am your host, Brandon Martin, and welcome to the 25th episode of the Cubbyhole Podcast, where important topics are unveiled, discussed, and tested. Our website is cubbyhole.com. That's CubbyWhole.com. Today, I will be picking up and continuing from our topics, which include mind control and the exploration into the methods of manipulation. So on the last few episodes, I have covered the first technique of manipulation known as obfuscation. And to briefly rehash what obfuscation is a tactic of manipulation intended to take something that is simple and convert it into something complex. It is a tactic to obscure the objective truth about something by making it seem so complex and so disorderly that an individual is stunted in their development of their own inquiries about the truth. So it leads them into not having the will, and it dissuades them from actually wanting to look deeper into the matter at hand. So obfuscation is used to make sure that the viewer, that the individual that is receiving the information, does not dig deeper into what the actual truth is. We also spoke about the obfuscation of principle with law, dominion with punishment, gnosis with belief, truth with authority, the individual with culture, and good with evil. These were all the obfuscation examples that I gave in the last show. There is a plethora of examples of obfuscation that one could give, but these were the ones that I feel were the most critical at this point. I had thought of a few more to add, but considering we just don't have enough time to cover all the examples that I wanted to lay out, maybe we will in the future, but I'm pretty sure individuals listening to this show should be astute enough to start to see where obfuscation is affecting their lives and their choices. So today we are going to be moving on to the next method of manipulation, which is worldview poisoning. Worldview poisoning can be simplified down to the repetitive application. Worldview poisoning can be simplified down to the repetitive application of certain ideas and concepts so that people start to become egoly attached to these erroneous and false dogmatic ideas about the concept of human nature. The purpose of this is to get people attached to the idea that human nature is innately and inherently damaged or evil. That we are born with this dogmatic religious idea of sin, which is absolutely not what human nature really is. This is entirely a method of worldview poisoning. We do not come into this world evil or with sin. We are conditioned by the bad information that we accept as true that has come down from the people that have came before us, which alters our view of ourselves and it alters the view of our world, which we operate in. So worldview poisoning is about the obfuscation, if you may, of the true human nature with a dogmatic human nature. Human nature is fundamentally good. It is nurturing. It is protective. It is harmonious. This goes back to the old argument of nature versus nurture, and it is primarily nurture. And through a study of epigenetics, we can understand the science of why it is primarily nurture. But human nature is programmable. It is conditionable. So we really have to understand that the information that is instilled or programmed into the mind of a child at an early age, specifically around the formative years, really determines the way that that individual is going to make decisions as it develops and grows and raises itself in consciousness. But human nature fundamentally is about raising each other, raising ourselves and raising each other in consciousness. If you ever have doubt about this, just hang out with some kids. Look at what they're trying to do. They're trying to raise their consciousness. Hang out with even babies, you know. Think about how they are trying to raise their consciousness to understand what is going on within the world they have just emerged into. That's what this is about. That is fundamentally good. Understanding what is going on. Understanding itself and the environment in which the self operates in. So the idea here is to twist the natural nurturing state so that people do not care about what is being programmed into the minds of their children. Human nature is neither inherently good nor inherently evil. Instead, we should consider the operating conditions or the environment in which the human being exists, which influences the behavior to a great extent, thus creating the current human condition. So human beings are programmable, much like computers are. Now, I'm not saying we are computers, but I'm saying that we operate similar to computers. Like a computer, if a human being has a bad file system format, which go back to what I said earlier about the formative years, laying the format down, and a bad operating system being the culture, and bad software programs being the belief systems or the axioms that an individual will be behaving from, their output onto the screen of life, into manifested reality, will also be bad. And it will contribute to the deteriorating conditions on a mass scale. Garbage in is garbage out, and quality in is quality out. especially when it pertains to the mind and behavior of an individual. Another way worldview poisoning is applied is by getting an individual to identify and become attached to a value-based system that relies upon money or currency and or the possession of certain items. So an individual's identity and self-value, the way they perceive their own worth in the universe, is defined by a monetary status in society or a possessional status in society. How many things do I have or own, which defines how much my worth is in society? Do we look at ourselves and say, my value is based upon how much money I have in my bank account or in my wallet? How many cars do I have? What kind of house do I live in? What kind of clothes that I wear? What kind of materialistic possessions do I have that I gauge my individual value off of? Or do we recognize that inherently and innately that no value can be placed upon the individual? That no value can be placed upon the individual because the individual is of infinite value. The individual is an expression and a component to the infinite consciousness having an experience in the physical domain. Do we gauge our individual value based upon our level of consciousness? If we did this, then we would not be mind controlled, because then we would understand our true potential as spiritual beings here. One reason is because we will recognize the spiritual nature in others that we are around, which is encapsulated in the phrases Namaste and Ubuntu. Ubuntu is an Egyptian word that means, I know myself by knowing another. That's the general definition of it. I know my spiritual value because I see the spiritual value within others. And then I know the spiritual value within others by knowing the spiritual value within myself. It's a closed loop cycle. Namaste could be said to mean that which is divine in me recognizes that which is divine within you. Another method that they poison our worldviews is by getting us to believe that change is impossible, that there is no possibility to ever create real substantial change in our system. What is impossible is to keep up with how much change is actually occurring right now. It is far too common that I often hear, change is impossible. Why do anything at all? Why do you do the work you do, Brandon? Why do you put it out there this way when you have to know that there is no hope for change, that there is no way we can change anything going on? One reason that they think this is because people have instant gratification identification. They want to have the change visibly in their own presence immediately. They want to be gratified at this huge level that this change is going to magically happen all over the globe out of nowhere. They want to see this rapid, extremely, infinitely rapid effect happen from causality, which we know that causality and effect are separated by time and space. So it takes time for things to manifest, especially when you're working on such a big scale. This is a self-defeatist attitude and a victim mentality. The global change is happening slowly by each individual changing themselves, by each individual recognizing their own infinite value and not being manipulated anymore. Change can only happen at a global scale by us transmuting ourselves and essentially and metaphorically becoming the butterfly. Now, this one really plays into the death of the imagination that Nathan spoke about. Because if you can't imagine that change is possible, then you cannot manifest the change that you cannot imagine. All things start in the mind. And until we can see it in the mind, then we will never see it in physical manifestation by our own hands. As Gandhi once said, be the change that you want to see in the world. So we're going to move on to the next method of manipulation, which is preying on primal fears. Manipulation of our primal fears, which are stored in our subconscious mind. Our primal fears, which are stored in our subconscious mind, are fourfold. They are the fear of darkness, the fear of predators, the fear of abandonment, and the fear of chaos. The sorcerers and the controllers of our world know exactly how to prey off of these subconscious primal fears. And the way they do this is by understanding exactly how we will react in the face of these specific primal fears. So these sorcerers completely understand that we try our hardest to avoid these four primal fears. So as an example of the manipulation that takes place with these four primal fears, one could look to the problem reaction solution idea, where there's a problem that's set into motion and then we react to it based upon the level of the problem will give us the determining of the level of reaction that we produce. And then there is a synthetic predetermined agenda already ready, handed to us by the actual initiators of that problem, which actually gives them more power and more control over us in the end. As another example, I enter into discussion the sun, which is man's best friend. There literally would be no life on this planet and could not be any forms of life without the sun. The sun provides us with food, energy, light, heat, warmth. It provides us with so many things that are required for us to grow and evolve here. The ancients understood this completely, and this is why the sun was held to such a high status in many ancient cultures. It provides the energy that is needed for plant life to grow. So when winter comes, we have the inverse of that. We have everything dying off. Everything getting colder. The sun is moving farther away from us, so everything is getting much colder. There's not as much light. There's not as much energy. And this leads to the scarcity of food. So in the animal kingdom, a lot of animals will start to encroach on other animals' territories and really start to become predatory. This leads into the next one. Predator. So we started with darkness, the sun goes down, which wraps into predators coming out, which is an association. These are not absolutes, these are just simple association. So when this takes place in ancient cultures, the strong father and male dominant figure, the strong figure would be looked to for protection. So the masculine figure would be the primary target for those that are in fear of the predators and of darkness. So if the father figure, the protector, is not present, then the individuals who are looking for that protection are exposed. they are vulnerable to the predators. So this is all where the fear of abandonment ties in with this. Abandonment. So we can look at this all. It all comes down to safety at this point. Sorry about the background noise. That's my doggy walking around. But this all comes down to safety at this point. Because we fear not being safe. This is one of the biggest things, and I will explore that in the future more. Going back to what I was speaking about, people end up, when they are in the absence of their true protector spirit or father figure physically, they cry out, they beg for protection from things like government. Government has pretty much replaced that protective essence that was inscribed into the old cultures as a principle, where we would have this masculine self-defense principle that would step up to defend us against the predators and against the darkness and against these fears that we have. So when the figure, the masculine principle is not there, like I was saying, we end up reacting. We end up in chaos. But it is interesting to see that the word predator actually breaks down in Green language to predator. And who are the predators? The predecessors of what's going on? Well, the parental figures, going all the way back into ancient bloodlines. So this ties in with all the ancient mystery traditions and secret societies that had the knowledge that they kept away from the people. And these are the people that are truly in control now. And these individuals are telling us that they're going to prop themselves up as our protectors, but in fact, they have themselves become the predators. So moving on to the next method of manipulation, which is divide and conquer. Now, I'm sure we're all pretty familiar with the divide and conquer strategy. For example of this, you could send, like in military strategy, you could send an agent, an infiltrator into a territory and then have them create conflict within that territory or within neighboring territories that are allies, and then create that conflict between those two. And you, as the individual who has sent the agent in to do that, or agents in to do that, can sit back and just wait until the enemy, both enemies, weaken themselves, or even just one enemy. And then you can move in and assimilate them. You can move in and eradicate them. You can just totally, you know, butcher them. And that's what's happened in history. We see this time and time again in military strategy, to divide your enemy. They cannot be unified. And that's why we see what we see going on today. It's a big divisive technique. And, you know, we have so many types of division. We have this idea of race, which is completely an illusion. We're all one race, and we don't need to identify with our skin color. Yes, we can characterize ourselves and say, yes, I have this color skin, but we don't need to egoly become attached to that, where we start to see ourselves as different. And when we start to identify that way, it's no different from that identification with monetary value too. It's materialistic, and it limits our ability to grow and understand our true connectiveness to the all, because we are connected to each and every one of us. We are the human race, and we don't need any of those types of divisions. But, you know, money divides us, status in society divides us, color divides us, sex divides us, you know, really trivial things divide us on all over the scale. So the idea is to get people fighting amongst themselves so that they do not have any reserves or strength left to fight the real enemy, to fight the real battle. And that's what's going on, especially today in our current society, is that everybody is fighting with each other and not unifying under the one task of ending slavery. And one reason why we're not unifying is because we don't understand these principles, the principles of natural law, and living in harmony with these principles. We don't have the ancient knowledge that these sorcerers have withheld from us for tens of thousands of years. They divide us through things like religion, which is one of the biggest things that they use to divide us with. They divide us through class. They divide us through political ideologies. They divide us geographically. This is also known as balkanization, where they go in and balkanize to break up a state or a location that has been targeted, that has been unified, into smaller fragments. And then you get everybody through the ideas of moral relativity to start to fight with their neighboring states. And this is what's happened in America. I mean, that's why we're the United States of America. America. This has happened all over the world. They also divide us through this illusionary concept of nationality. You know, Canada versus America, Mexico versus America, etc. They will do anything to get us to see ourselves as separate. Because as long as we see ourselves in a separatist mentality, then we are going to be very weakened against our true enemy. We're not going to be unified in our task to help end slavery. So this is why they use mind control. This is why I am here to explain these things to you, because I hope to influence you and help to raise you up to see what is going on so that we may make a change together, so that we become unified. So now we're moving into the next method of manipulation, indoctrination. We have obfuscated true education with indoctrination. Our Western culture, and it happens more so in the Western than in the Eastern, but in our Western culture, we tend to be more in a left brain modality. Now, I've talked about the brain imbalances and what it does to our behaviors when we're in a chronic left brain versus a chronic right brain imbalance. But our Western culture steers to push us more into the left brain. So it's an indoctrination into the left brain modality of consciousness. As we see in most schools, luckily this has started to diminish lately, but for a very long time, the things like arts or anything creative would get cut in favor of things like math that would never really serve you in your everyday, you know, streetwise lifestyle. Now, I'm not saying you don't need some mathematics, but I am saying that the focus primarily on such a thing as math in favor or versus something such as art or music can be very devastating because it puts us in that left brain imbalance. We need a holistic way of teaching people so that we have the whole brain becoming activated. We need the whole brain to be activated and lit up so that we are reaching our highest levels of intelligence, and pushing ourselves into one hemisphere versus the other does not do that for us. So modern education is really indoctrination that looks to create obedience, that looks to create conformity. You are rewarded because of memorization rather than the ability to think and to reason. This is what some of the mystery schools had intended to do with their process of initiation, which is kind of what we're doing on this show. This is a process of initiation. And this show is intended to help holistically stimulate your brain and your consciousness on a multitude of levels so that you can help to develop new neural pathways and to generate better behaviors and better results in our world. Like I said, we have outcome-based education system rather than an intuitive and intellectual-based education system. Everything in modern education tries to push you into ego-identified roles in society, things that we call and label jobs, right? What it really is retardation. It is there to slow our intuitive and creative processes. And this is because it is half-brained. So it's literally pushing you into a half-brained modality of consciousness. Unfortunately, we are at the end of this episode. Now, I will be continuing with indoctrination on the next episode. Hopefully, you have found clarity and value in the information I've shared here with you today. And, of course, you can find our shows, presentations, and updates at the Cubbyhole website. That's CubbyHole.com. And also, please make sure to keep your eyes out for future shows as we go further into mind control techniques and weapons of manipulation or methods of manipulation. Also, just a reminder, a new show comes out every Monday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time and every Friday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Stay tuned for more, and thank you, and keep transcending dogma.